Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Well, some of you might know that this morning is about two different things. Well, you probably don't, but I'll let you know. It's about two different things. First of all, the first part of this meeting is about vision, and then we'll pray together. And the second part is about our financial kind of strategy, what we have spent on the building, what we've done with the money that you guys and others who are not here have sown into us being able to be here this morning. And we just want to give you a broad view of where we're going. So there's two parts to this meeting. And the first part needs to be caught in your spirit before you understand the second part. It's very important we hear vision with our hearts first, and then we can understand it with our heads. That's the way God works. He puts something in your heart first, and eventually your head will catch up. And this week, I was sleeping one night, which is, praise God, is becoming more normal. And I woke up, the Lord woke me up with this phrase, "Nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing you plan to do will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible for you, and nothing you plan to do will be impossible." And I woke up, wrote it down, and the Lord told me the reference was Genesis 11, that's what he meant he wanted to communicate from, and that what he wanted to bring for the first part of this meeting was to flow out of that. The voice that God gave me was to come to you. So this morning, turn with me to Genesis chapter 11. And we'll look at what God said here in Genesis 11 about nothing these people plan to do will be impossible for them. Isn't that an incredible thing that God would say about people? We know nothing's impossible with God. But isn't it amazing that he would say this about people? And they all said, yes. Yes, it is. You know, one thing that stops you falling asleep in a meeting is responding. Let me help you. Because if you sleep, you won't get what God's got to give you this morning, and you'll leave empty. So respond, amen. That's a biblical response. It actually, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they taught people to respond with yes and amen. Because it's saying the yes to what they're hearing. So nothing will be impossible for you. Isn't that amazing? Amen. And it consolidates in you. Rather than thinking it, you start to speak it and agree with it, and it actually starts to work in your life. Yes. So nothing will be impossible for you. It'll make you happier as well. Genesis chapter 11. In this situation, we catch really something about a vision. The vision that these people had. Now, the whole world in one language and a common speech. And as men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and they settled there. And they said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Let us use brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar." And then they said, "Come on, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see. I always think that's funny. He sees everything, but it's like he's really interested in this one. This is a project he has suddenly got his attention on, and he's about to do something about it. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. They were in the process of doing this. And the Lord said, "If, as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." So, all of these people are together building themselves a city. They're building themselves this tower. And they're actually showing off how great they are. It's a show off of human endeavor. It's people saying, look at us, look what we can do. And God comes in and he says, they've only just begun to understand the power of agreeing on a vision. They've only just caught something here that will make them unstoppable. Nothing will be able to stop them if they carry on with this one heart, one mind, one purpose, one vision. They are unstoppable. Nothing they're planning to do will be impossible because they're all united around this one thing. So the answer for the Lord was to confuse us. Now, I want you to understand why he brought confusion into this plan. Because some people say that's a bit of a killjoy. God isn't a killjoy. But why did he come and bring this whole thing down? Well, it was because self was at the center of this vision. It was a humanistic, it was an egocentric, self-focused, self-centered, look at us vision. God was not part of anything that they were doing. He wasn't even a thought in their mind while they were building this. They were building themselves their own thing. And let me tell you, whenever you build just yourself, your family, your business, your life, things don't work. God's not in that. God is into a bigger picture. He wants to build your family, your life, your everything, your business, within the context of seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Within the context of God being very much Lord and first in a vision. And when you get saved, he turns your life upside down, he makes you a new creation, and you begin to have a heavenly perspective on life. Suddenly life has different priorities and different ways of thinking and acting. And God broke this up, and the way he did it, it says in verse 7, come, let us go down. God didn't hurt them. He didn't just go, fire! Because he's good. He just confused their language. And I love to think of breakfast the next morning. Can you imagine waking up and saying, Tabahas Wahada Super Deepy Deepy? Honey, what happened in the night? We can't communicate. And the basis of a vision is understanding the same thing, having the same language and the same purpose. And basically, that understanding got divided and split up because God wanted his vision in the earth. He didn't want man to rule. He wants to be the ruler because under his reign is love, peace, kindness and patience. You see, man without God essentially has sin at the bottom of them, right at the depths. And the more man does for themselves, the greater the sin is manifest. It's a bigger, bigger manifestation of problems. So how does God do this? He changes their language. They don't have the same speech. They aren't able to agree. And so what do we see God's solution is? Well, in Genesis 12, right into the next chapter, you see that God speaks to a man called Abraham. And he says to Abraham, in these words, he says, leave your country, your people, your father's house, go to a land I'll show you. I will make you into a great nation. Now, isn't that interesting that God's saying, I want you to be great? Even though the people in Genesis 11 wanted to be great, God says, I want you to be great my way. Because I want to be Lord of your vision. You know that wonderful song? Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be Lord of my vision, O Lord of my heart. You're Lord of my heart, be Lord of my vision. Wonderful, just that word. And God comes in, and how does he create vision? He starts to speak to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I want you to leave. In other words, I want you to come out from amongst the people you're with and come into my plan and purpose. Come into obedience, because I want to bless you. Blessed, the word bless. We know that God started with the creation of man. When he made man, he blessed them. That meant he empowered them to do well in life, to prosper. So when the sin came, the curse came. But Jesus became a curse for us so that blessing could come back into our lives. If you don't have Jesus, you're not yet blessed. But if you've got Jesus, you're blessed with every blessing, which means you are empowered to prosper in life. You have God's ability to do well in relationships, in every area of life, materially, mentally, physically, in your goals, and in the purpose of God for your life. You will do well. Say, I am blessed. I mean, that's fantastic. In Christ, we're blessed. And God's plan is, I want you blessed. But he didn't stop there. He says, I've got a vision for the world. And that is, the world will be blessed through you. But first of all, I need a person or a people that will be blessed. And then I'm going to bless the world through you. God is a visionary. His vision goes beyond the church, way out there into the whole world. And he says, I want a people of obedience, of faith, that will come and walk with me in this generation. That will be radical followers of Jesus Christ, filled with my spirit, speaking my language, hearing my voice. And together, nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. That is the plan of God. And it's got this massive blessing word in it. You're not blessed in your own plan. It'll end in tears. In fact, it'll end in death. That's what the scriptures say. But God's plan and purpose for your life ends in joy, in fruit, in amazing adventure. There's an adventure waiting for you as you follow Jesus. But God breaks up human endeavors. If you're confused about your life, maybe you need to come back to, Lord, be my vision. Oh, Lord of my heart. Take that song and pray it. And see if that will start to work something fresh in you, desiring God's plan and vision for your life. So God is a visionary. He gets hold of Abraham's life. Abraham responds, and God's always looking for a people who will respond to him. Not just sit in meetings, but actually live the life and say, yeah, I'm going to do this. Now, simply put, this word vision is a big word, but it simply means God's goal for your future. God's predestined plan for your future. God's goal for us as a church, for our future. It's simply speaking of something ahead before it happens. Because God always speaks something before he does it. He always says something before it happens in the earth. Because that's how God creates things in the earth, by speaking. And he does this in and through a people who receive his word and accept his word, what he is saying, and begin to walk according to what that vision has been communicated to them. Now, God gives you vision personally. You just need to read the word of God, and you too will become a visionary. You'll get God's vision for your life if you read the New Testament. You will become a visionary, a God visionary, inspired by the Word of God that will show you what you're supposed to be doing in your life. You get a vision to love people. And that would include us all in this room. God will love us all, honey. Because you'll get a vision for it in the Word. And you'll also get a vision for the world you're in, where you work, God will show you. He wants his kingdom to come. He'll show you. He wants to heal the sick through you. He'll show you through various plans and dreams how to prosper in your workplace, in your business life. He'll give you ideas that will be solutions for this generation. If you're a doctor, you're going to get on the wisdom of the ages, and you're going to see an amazing things. If you're a builder, you're going to get a plan that actually will give you incredible insight into how to do your job. God communicates personal vision. He speaks something before it happens. But vision is vital that it goes beyond your personal life. And it's like a jigsaw. It needs to fit into the bigger picture, which for us here today, it's the local church. Your vision must be inclusive of God's vision for the local church. There's something bigger than a personal vision, and it's the vision that Jesus has for his local church. Then there's something even bigger for his worldwide church. And then it goes even bigger into saving the world. So he wants to build your vision within the context of the local church. That's really the nitty-gritty of how your life is to be worked out. In reality, because it's unreal to say I belong to the worldwide church, but I don't really belong anywhere. That is not really how God views the body. The body is a connected place. Each part in connection with others. That's how a physical body works, and that's how the body of Christ works, in connectedness. Say connectedness. You know I made it up? Connectedness. Maybe it is a word. Maybe it's an American word. But you know what I'm saying. There's a connection and a part for you to play within the local church. Now, vision sets the compass. It says, this is where we're going, and this is why we are together. Vision says, this is where we're going. This is the compass. It's saying, due north. This is where we're going, and this is why we are together. Vision is greater than a preacher. It's greater than you. Is greater than all of us put together. Because it's God saying something that is much bigger than we've seen yet. Speaking of end things, Habakkuk, it speaks about the vision. It speaks of the end. So in other words, it speaks of the goal. So that you can run together with that goal. All together knowing where we are going. And it's fantastic to know where we're going. I want to thank God that I don't wake up every few months and saying, I wonder where we're going. And that's why I want you to really know what God has spoken to us in Kingdom Faith Southwest. And you're here today, from which I'm believing you're a part of this vision. I'm looking around and I can see, apart from my nephew and niece, who aren't here at the moment, I think most of us are part of this vision. And by the way, if you have more than one vision, you become confused. You've got to be focused on the place where God's called you so that you can be very, very fruitful in what you're called to do. It kind of focuses us, doesn't it, vision? Now, I don't know whether you've read Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. I haven't, but I read a quote a while ago, and I thought this was brilliant about vision and how confused you can be and go around in circles when you don't have a vision. Now, Alice in Wonderland is going through a maze and she meets the Cheshire Cat. And you know, the Cheshire Cat has a grin. And so Alice says to the Cheshire Cat, because she's a bit frustrated in this maze, she says, would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here? Cheshire Cat looks at her and says, well, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to. Alice says, well, I don't much care. I'm lost, frustrated, and flustered. So the Cheshire Cat says, then it doesn't matter much which way you go. So if you don't care where you're going, It doesn't really matter where you go. But God's vision, when it comes into your heart, you need to know how important vision is. Because it actually matters where we're going. It mattered to the Lord where Abraham would end up. It mattered to the Lord that Moses took the people out of one place and into another specific place. It matters that we go from A to B, and B is defined by the Lord. It matters. Vision matters, and it matters that you get an understanding so we all speak the same language of the vision, so that nothing we plan to do will be impossible for us. Before any plane, aeroplane leaves the runway, it has a flight plan. Before a house is built, there is a blueprint. Imagine some of you builders here going, yeah, well, I don't know what should, let's just knock up a wall here. Where should we put the next one? There's already a drawn up plan, if you're a good builder, that you actually come in and you know what you're doing. If you're starting a new business, what's the plan? Otherwise, you don't much care where you're going. Ooh, the vision speaks of the end. And so a builder will work with a blueprint. Now, one of the apparently most fantastic places to go, although it never has floated my boat thinking about going there, and that is Orlando, Disney World. Some of you may really want to go. Some of you may have been there. But on the opening, obviously he wants to go. The smile on his face was like the Cheshire Cat. Maybe I misinterpreted that. The opening of Disney World, the engineer who was responsible for putting into operation all the plans for Disney World, he felt it was a real significant moment because Walt Disney had already died. And so he leant over to her and he said, "How I wish Walt could have seen this." And the widow replied, "He did. That's why it's here." Everything that you see around you is a result of vision. Some people have a vision for destruction. But God wants us to turn our lives and hearts around to receiving his vision that is for the blessing, spiritual, physical, in every dimension, the blessing of the world around us. And to see this nation and nations blessed because we have received an incredible vision from God. Before God does anything, he communicates it, and he always speaks to leaders first. Otherwise, we would be a democracy where everybody comes in and says, which one do you think is best? And this church started just over 10 years ago with God bringing us, Pastor Andrew and I, into prayer for 3 months when we moved down here. And God spoke to us after 3 months. And that was an intense time, let me tell you. Intense time of praying and seeking God. He gave us the vision, which I will communicate in a minute. But then we gathered a people and we started to speak the vision. And what happens with a vision, it's no good if it stays with a leader, nor is it supposed to belong to the leader. It's supposed to belong to everybody who gathers around that vision. And we began to communicate that vision and people began to catch it and to put it in their hearts and to pray it and run with it. Just like Nehemiah, as he went to view the walls of the city, God had already put it in his heart to do something specific. And he began to communicate it to the people there who were in trouble, that there was things weren't working in that city. The enemy had gotten in and the walls were down. But Nehemiah communicated this vision, and as he communicated it, it caught the heart. It brought faith into people, and it made them stand up and say, "Let's rise and build." I mean, it caused a response. And I'm trusting this morning, hearing the vision afresh in you will cause a response in you. Right, let's stand up and let's run with the vision that God has given us. People joined in the work. They put their backs into the vision. And in the New Testament, when the Spirit came, when man could be one heart and one mind with God again through Jesus Christ, when we can agree because we have the Bible, when we can agree because the Bible is the authority of the Church of Jesus Christ, when we can agree because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we now make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. We now make every effort, church, to keep that bond of peace, forgiveness, working through issues and saying it matters more than we're united, than we totally agree on every little teeny weeny itsy personal thing. Sometimes I think I'm an actress. I don't mean to be, but do you know what I mean? People get so picky. What about my thing? What about this carpet? What about the kingdom? What about the kingdom? It's more important we unite for the greater purposes than we totally agree on every little thing. That becomes a Pharisaical spirit, a judgmental spirit, and it can destroy your life and break up the body of Christ. The devil's plan is to divide the church, is to break up the body of Christ, is to take people off in their own thing. That's the devil's plan. And Jesus said, a house divided will not stand. A marriage divided will not stand. And the only way we can unite is in the Lord. Because look at you. Look at me. We're all different. All ages. I love this church. Look at you. I love the old, the young, the babies. I love the different colors, the nationalities. I love this church. We unite around Jesus and his vision for us. Brilliant. What a celebration of the victory of God in our lives. Glorious Church of Jesus Christ. We are glorious. We're a phenomenon. We're amazing. It is amazing. These churches that kind of like clump around, well, I only like this. Let's have this kind of church. Broaden out and get into kind of, you know, not everybody's like you, and that's brilliant. Not everybody's as intelligent as you, as rich as you, as poor as you, as whatever as you, as looking like you, as old as you, young as you, or got the background or the likes. I like trains, well, I like trees, I like walking, I like gyms, it doesn't matter. We're united in Christ for his purpose and vision for us. And in the New Testament, you read in Acts 2, Acts 4, one accord, this word, the believers were together. That's already a victory. This morning, the believers are together. We're here together. This is what the Lord wants, is a gathering in one place. This is the purpose of God. It's never God's purpose you don't come to church. It's never God's purpose. This is the Lord's gathering. Gathering of champions. More than conquerors. Praise God. One heart. This one accord means one heart, one mind, and one purpose. So in other words, we don't just sit down and say, oh yeah, I'm one heart. Oh yeah, I'm one mind. It means we start to work on the same thing. Wake the person up next to you and say, we're going to work on the same thing. One heart, one mind, one purpose. one purpose. It's not just saying, well, I agree in the Lord and wander off and have no actual reality of that working out in our lives together. Yes, it's connectedness, actually. People who are not connected relationally are not connected. It's so important. And it takes a bit of time to get to know people in a local church and to become part of that vision. But you need to start to be connected and really belong and have someone who cares about you, prays for you, and is you're accountable to, actually. So nobody, you don't just wander off and nobody ever, you can't even remember, did they come, did they go? That's not, they were together. Because we know when somebody's missing. And it's really important, because there may be many reasons why that's happening, but we need to jump in and encourage in that situation. When the vision comes, it's like God saying, I want you to see as I see. I love God. He loves us so much. He wants us to see as he sees. And however he sees life is always better than how I view it. And especially if you're a glass half empty person, naturally. What you see is often, oh, it's so bad, it's so difficult, it's so hard, it's so, why did this happen for me? Why is this going on? Oh, but my heart, I'm a fountain of tears and depression. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. When you lift your eyes, you say, God says, this is how I see. The vision speaks of the end. I want you to start to pray according to my promise, which is the end result. And you're going to get that happening. Amen. The vision that God has lifts you into victory. Lifts you into nothing is impossible for us. Because nothing really is impossible with you, for you with God. You and God together. You and God together. Nothing is impossible. So once we've seen what God wants to show us, he then says, I want you to believe it. I mean, I've known Christians, and you probably have met them. They've got so many visions. They're always having another vision and another dream. And it's like every day you wake up and you think you go there, you think you're less spiritual than them because they're always coming up with something new. Oh, I've had a vision. Oh, I've had a dream. And in all these little kind of ideas and dreams and visions, what happens is you realize they're not really believing any one of them. They're just sort of pontificating. They're just spouting. There's no reality because believe, that word, to believe the vision, means to believe it in your heart, to have it in your mind, to speak it, but to believe means you're acting on it. If you're going to believe something, you will show me by what you're doing. So it's one thing to have a vision, but another thing to believe it. It's another thing to put it into operation, to start to act on it, and to see it come to pass. So God wants us to have one heart, one mind, one vision, one purpose, and to believe what he actually has given us as a local church. And that's, I know that this means for you as an individual, but it also must come into this morning. I think the emphasis is us together in one accord. God is jealous for us to be in one accord. He wants us to be in one mind, heart, and purpose. He is jealous for it. You understand what that means? He is urgent for it. Because he knows when there's unity, then we are unstoppable. Whether you feel like it or not, I would just say amen. Because you need to agree with the things. Well, you don't need to. You don't have to. But you're blessed if you do agree with God. God's way of doing life, you do it God's way and you'll be blessed. And joining God's vision for a local church is God's way of getting blessing into your life. Ha ha. That makes me smile. So let's turn to the vision that God spoke to us those years ago and we continue to run with and check our lives by and continue to believe for. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. I'm not preaching on this morning, but I'm just going to declare what God has given us. Ezekiel, in verse 1, says, "The hand of the Lord was upon him, and God brought him out by the Spirit of the Lord and set him in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" This is a spiritual vision that God is spirit, and he communicates by his spirit. So, you know, you need to not just think every thought you've got is a vision. Because out of prayer, you birth clarity and vision personally. And out of accountability to somebody else, usually somebody who is further on in the Lord than you, you can get it kind of checked out. Yeah? But here he is in the spirit, and God's communicating to him. And I love this. And God actually, first of all, shows him the problem. That there are a valley of many dry bones, and everything's dead. It's all dead. There's no life. In fact, there's absolutely no hope when you've got the bones everywhere. And he's looking at this, and God asks him a question: "Son of man, can these bones live?" And God is wanting to bring someone into this vision. He wants to bring them into the solution. So he starts to speak to the prophet, and the prophet is essentially somebody who's going to bring God's word to the people. But he's also going to declare the word to the bones. He's going to speak the word to the bones. And he says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." In other words, unless you say so, nothing's going to happen. I'm still waiting for what you've got to say. And he said, "Prophesy to these dry bones. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Breath, I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life." Imagine two of us in a living room. Receiving this from the Lord, looking out, wondering how on earth this church could ever happen, wondering what God was going to do. We had no idea. And God begins to say, "There are going to be a great many dry bones here that I want you to speak my word to, and they will come to life. They will live." And we started to think, brilliant. We started to have this kind of engaged time with the Lord. And he says, "I'm going to attach tendons to you, make flesh come upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I'm the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. In other words, the leader's job is to speak the word of the Lord. Because the word of the Lord is creative, it's powerful, and it brings God's will into being. So the word came, just like Nehemiah. The leader's job was to speak, and it brought about a spiritual vision and an action for those people to build together the walls of that city. Dry bones here, and they began to come together, a rattling sound. I love that. Rattle, rattle. I can imagine the scene here. The bones came together, bone to bone. So there's the connectedness. The body is being formed. The body is being formed. We're in the process of this body being formed. Every Sunday, the body is being formed. In faith groups, the body is being formed. In our mission work in the communities, the bodies are coming together, bone upon bone. In our individual witnesses, the body of Christ is being brought together by the word of the Lord. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them. Skin covered them. There was no breath in them. And then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, son of man. Prophesy and say to it, 'This is what the Lord said. Come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me. This is all according to God's vision. I prophesied as he commanded me. And they stood on their feet. New King James says, "An exceedingly great army." Say "an exceedingly great army." I don't know what you see when you say that. Say it again. How about say "a vast army"? That's the word that God has spoken over us. A vast army. started with two. Now, we're more than we're sitting here. God has brought a connectedness. You are important to this body. You're important to this vision. We cannot do it without you. And you can't do it without all of us. But together, God is bringing us together for a purpose to be this exceedingly great army that is standing on its feet. Now, I love that word, standing, because in Ephesians, New Covenant, New Testament, Ephesians 6:10, having done all stand, you've got this picture of this soldier in the armor of the Lord. Having done all stand. In other words, we're here to bring victory to this region. We're here to bring territory taking dynamics of the kingdom. We're here to see sicknesses healed. We're here to see people delivered from the devil and the oppression and the addictions of this age. We're here to see signs and wonders and miracles. We're here to see the lost come to Christ and into the purpose of God. We're here for this nation. We're here for other nations. It is not just about us. And God is going to cause us continually to stand and to see this generation come to Christ. That is our goal. They're not yet here. That's speaking of those not yet saved. We're here for those who are not yet here. But God is doing and will create this amazing body. And it's interesting, this army is our identity. Some local churches have a family identity. They have specific unique calls and visions because the body is a multi-faceted wisdom of God being expressed to the principalities and powers. But this particular body is identified by army. Praise God. There's an order to us. There's a need to be equipped with weapons that win. There's a need to understand that actually we're citizens of heaven. We've been enlisted to be soldiers in this army. You're enlisted as a soldier of Christ. And that's a unique call. Because we're here to bring victory. Okay, so here we have, I write down the vision. We just go through this quickly, then we're going to pray. Joy, thank you. An exceedingly great army. And these are the words, this is what we believe that God gave us to produce this army. We are a people, so in other words, not just an individual. God sometimes speaks to us as individuals, but a lot of the words he brings in the New Testament is for a people. And so we need to be more us-minded than just me-minded. We're a people who believe. Now, this is one of the things that you will always have here is faith teaching. Because without faith, there is no victory. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done. And so I will never make an excuse for being a faith church. All that is not of faith is actually sin, Jesus said. So, any other kind of church is a sin church. We're a faith church. A people who believe. That's the first thing. Faith pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we can see this is all built on the eternal, unchanging word of God, this vision. It's not out of the human mind. This is from the mind of Christ. Who believe and live in the victory. So we're not just a faith church. We want to see you living in it. Experiencing a miracle when you need it. When you pray, we want you to see an answer. We want to quickly train you to be effective in your workplace. We want you to get the jobs God's planned for you to get. We want you to win the souls God's actually going to bring into the kingdom through your life. To believe and live in the victory. Victory is also a word that actually kind of turns some Christians angry. I wrote a book on prayer and I got thrown out by this particular publisher. I did publish it, and it's sold out. It's maybe need to republish it. It's a good book on prayer, and because God gave me the grace to do it, but it works. That book works. That's why it sold out. And the first publisher looked at me and he said, "It's too vitriolic. It's too triumphant. You're writing about prayer. You're always telling people they should expect it to work." Well, I said, "Jesus said to expect it to work." And there are whole publishing, there's whole churches that don't expect. And if you don't expect, you don't get. And I'd rather get than just pray. And I'd rather see a people come into this. It's a dynamic of the spirit of faith at work in this church. So a people who believe and live in the victory of the cross. The cross is central. Jesus is central to us. Everything that we do, our worship, our prayer, our focus, looking unto Jesus, what he has done and accomplished through the cross and his resurrection, is it is finished. It's all been done for us so that we could live in it. Empowered by his word and spirit. We're not human powered. We are empowered by the word of God and the Holy Spirit. And then trained. There's a dynamic of training that will always take place. We've got faith school going on at the moment. We've done training. We will always train you. We'll always equip you. We'll always make available opportunities for you to be more effective in your ministry. And without training and equipping, it's part of God's call on you, your life, is to always receive equipping and training so that you can serve God with your life. So being trained and equipped to serve and to make disciples, to serve God and make disciples. So making disciples, when Jesus said is the Great Commission, go into all the world and make disciples of all people. So our goal doesn't just stop with us. It is to go out into the world, to bring them into a people who believe and live in the victory. Go out, bring them in to be a people who believe and live in being trained and equipped. It's a circle of training that will raise an army for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is our vision. And we're going to stand up and confess it and pray it. So let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank God for all of those who've played in some part, even if you're a recent part. I'm so grateful for people who are committed to run for the glory of Jesus in the vision that God has given us. Because a vision defines what we do. It also defines what we don't do. There are some stuff we'll never get involved with. And you mustn't be offended if we don't. Because it just doesn't work with the vision God's given us. We must stay focused. When we go to heaven, the Lord won't say, "Oh, were you faithful to meet with everybody else and make sure they were all right?" Or will he say, "Did you do what I asked you to do?" And we'll all be accountable for, were we faithful to what he gave us as a local church? And so, you know, there are some things, don't be miffed with me if I say no. But just don't feel it's right. Don't go off into offense, because we're focused. And understand that there is something really important that God is doing that's way beyond us. Yeah, it's way beyond us.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.